Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for our Monday morning house call from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, good morning. We were just talking about Anthony Rizzo with COVID. And as a cancer survivor, would he be in that group that you would highly recommend getting the vaccine?
Well, you know, since he has essentially been cured from his cancer, you know, he's probably not on any chemotherapy medications that are impacting his immune system, so probably not. But, you know, here's a guy that's traveling. If you look just before he got it, he had double road trip in Florida, the highest state's positivity rate, so not uncommon. And he has come out and said, hey, I have not been vaccinated. I'm waiting for more information. So not surprising that he did turn positive.
He says he feels great. He's got symptoms. And let's see, he's the fourth New York player within the past week to be sidelined by COVID-19. Doc, I want to ask you about something that's confusing to a lot of people, this business of efficacy and effectiveness. Tell me if this is accurate. Efficacy is how well the vaccine works in a clinical trial. Effectiveness is what happens out in the real world. Is that it?
Correct. When we start to look at how effective it is, and we all have to remember that the way we're measuring effectiveness for this virus is hospitalizations and deaths. So individuals can get turned positive. The vaccine is still working. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is minimize the symptoms, minimize the action of the virus on the body, keeps those viral loads down so that we don't get symptoms and don't end up in the hospital or, you know, with other bad things happening.
And is it usually the case that when the vaccine is released or when any medication is out in the real world as opposed to the trials, efficacy numbers would go down a little bit?
Well, it really varies because you have to remember that when we do the clinical trials, we're basing it on 30,000 people. Once it goes out, we're talking about billions. So now the number is going to become much more accurate. And in some trials, it'll go up. In some trials, it will come down just by the basis of the sheer size and the sheer numbers. And the reporting of it. You have to remember that when you're in clinical trials, they're asking you every day, do you have any symptoms? Do you have this? Do you have that? Once you get out into the general public, we're really not reporting every day. We ask people that if they have symptoms, if they have anything to report. But for the most part, you know, we're going to be basing it on those hospitalization numbers.
And neither efficacy or effectiveness is actually an accurate way to gauge your personal risk of getting sick. The risk can depend on other factors, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you want to look at the risk stratification of this, you know, immunocompromised people, diabetics, people with kidney disease, people with heart disease, you know, those individuals, the risk of them getting that is much higher, even seniors. So the risk is much higher to get that. And it's almost, you know, if you look at individuals who've been vaccinated versus unvaccinated, and then you put in the stratification of the risk, boy, anybody who has any one of those comorbidities and is not vaccinated, you have elevated your risk even higher because the Delta variant is so contagious.
In your health system there at Northwestern and what you're hearing from colleagues at other hospitals, what's the situation now with younger people? Are you seeing more of them in hospital?
Yeah, Bob, you know, I when I got here this morning, one of the ER docs who had worked overnight was finishing his shift and walking out. And I asked him how the night was. He said, you know, we were really busy. I said, how about COVID? He goes, I had a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, but besides that, not too bad. So I don't know whether he was working the pediatric side and saw a lot, but certainly we are seeing more kids, and especially now that is the concern. As we get, here's two individuals that could have been vaccinated and were not, the patient seen today, you know, and now we're coming in to school starting here, what, in Chicago in 3 weeks and many of the suburbs here in just the next couple of days.
How worried should we be about still another variant, another new one?
Yeah, well, you know, the news came out really in the last couple of days about the Lambda variant, you know, that now it's been found in 44 states and appears to be extremely contagious as well. The big thing we don't know there that we already know about Delta is how well the vaccines protect you from that variant. We know that the Delta variant, if you got vaccinated, you're pretty well protected. You may get a case, but you're going to have mild symptoms. The Lambda variant, we're not sure yet. We haven't seen enough cases of it, but certainly we'll start looking and tracking it.
Continuing with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most, let's go through some of the listener questions. Here's one for you. In September, I am planning a trip to Colorado to visit my daughter and grandkids. We're driving and all adults are fully vaccinated. The grandkids are all under 12, which worries me. Even though we're vaccinated, is it safe for the kids since they are not? Thanks for all the guidance you have provided throughout all this. Doctor?
Yeah, I would just be careful, I would have the kids wear masks, and I actually, as you're around them and in close proximity, if you're indoors, please wear masks. You know, the problem is that last week we found that even fully vaccinated people could still carry a large viral load and kind of almost be asymptomatic. So you would hate for a grandparent to give a grandchild that illness. But certainly, spend as much time with them outside as you can. And again, just kind of be careful while you're around them. But I certainly wouldn't cancel the trip.
Yeah, you can tell it's vacation time. Here's another one. My sister and I are going to Clearwater, Florida. My sister and I are vaccinated with Pfizer. We are staying at a private home, and we plan on only eating at outside eateries, and we plan to wear our masks at all places we walk inside. Would this be okay? Should we take a rapid test before we get on our flight?
Yeah, the only problem I have is once I hear the word Florida, I just kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. You're talking record number of new cases every day. You're talking about a governor who has not taken this seriously. I would be hesitant to go. I mean, even going to Florida, you're flying with individuals who are either going to go to travel or returning. And then when you're leaving, you're going to be flying with people that have potentially been exposed as well. With the numbers in Florida, I'm sorry, I with a good conscience can't tell people that I would travel there at this time.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Where are we now on boosters? And when do you think we're going to get something from the FDC, some new guidance on that?
Yeah, I think probably soon. Fauci has kind of skirted around it a little bit, saying, he's looking at boosters for immunocompromised and those over the age of 65 as quickly as possible. And then you couple that, just a day later with the World Health Organization asking countries to please hold off on boosters at least for another month so that we can get more immunizations into third world countries. So I think you'll probably see boosters now for select population, probably around Thanksgiving, going into the winter. Boosters for the remainder of people, it's going to be earlier than I thought. Just looking at this and looking at the Delta variant, I would say that, January, February, we'll probably be looking where many of us will have hit the one-year mark.
We're getting a lot of questions along the lines of this one. For people getting their second COVID vaccine now, how long should they wait after getting COVID shot number two before getting the seasonal flu shot?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because we're going to really start looking at these stepping on each other, I will say. Now, we've been telling people, boy, hesitate getting the Pneumovax, hesitate getting the shingle shot until you've completed that case or that course for your COVID. What I would do, especially knowing the number of cases of influenza and as low as they are right now, I would make sure you had your full immunity for COVID. So go 10 to 14 days after your second COVID before you even think about getting your seasonal influenza shot.
And let's see here. I got a couple more here for you. Do Johnson & Johnson vaccine recipients need to get booster shots?
Yeah.
Well, we still don't really know for sure, do we?
We don't. The studies that are being done right now certainly look like that may be the next group after you've done the immunocompromised and those over the 65. The Johnson & Johnson study that they did give two shots showed great second response. So it would not surprise me. You know, it was great to get as many shots into arms as we can, but as we start to look at boosters, to prioritize those who had Johnson & Johnson and just got the one shot would probably be the best.
You know, I was thinking over the weekend, looking at a lot of people inside at restaurants and not masking up. Are we going to need to toughen up the regulations here? I know the businesses certainly, like restaurants and bars, don't want to go backwards, and they've been struggling and don't want to go back to where we were before. But if we keep on this track with the variants, are we going to need to do more as far as you know, the protocols?
I certainly think we will. If you look at, again, I hate going back to Florida, Missouri, Texas, Georgia, but if you look at those states where they're starting to stress those health systems again, that's going to be the tipping point. If we get to a point where ICUs are full, hospitals are full of COVID patients, the governor is going to have to step up and put mitigation strategies back in place. So I think we still have this window. But we have to remember, Florida is not, you know, we just had a listener that's going to go to Florida. Florida is not a different country. This could easily roll up to here. Our vaccination rates are 10, 15, 20% higher than Florida, but that certainly does not mean that we're anywhere near herd immunity. So you can see, if you just look at the country right now, it's pretty much dipped in red. DuPage County, the highest vaccinated county in the state, just went to high submission or transmission. So very concerning still.
And we're learning more about all this every day, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and if you think of the phase three clinical trials that were going on a year ago at this time, so we're really now starting to see the impact of that. We're starting to see more about the virus itself. We're having drug companies, manufacturers, looking at an oral pill potentially, something similar to like Tamiflu, that could shorten the duration of the illness and protect you. So yeah, we are learning every day more and more about this, which when history is written, it's going to be fascinating to look back.
Mm-hmm. And so many people are still so confused about all this. And I was reading something the other day, and it made me stop and think. And basically, the point was made by the medical experts that the vaccine is not a shield. It's not going to stop the virus from getting to you. It's just going to lessen its effects. And that is the most important thing to remember, isn't it?
It is, and we're finding that out more and more. You know, many of us, when we got that shot, we said, we are Superman now. We are protected. We can go and do anything. That was all pre-Delta. When we got first vaccinated early on, we have to remember the Delta variant was single digits. It's now 95% of the cases we're seeing, and we're seeing more breakthrough cases. And the breakthrough cases, although certainly most of them are mild and mild symptoms, we all have to remember about the long haulers. So even the individual who gets those mild symptoms could still end up with loss of taste and smell, brain fog, some cognitive issues. So really, it is time for all of us to step up and make sure we're protecting ourselves.
Doc, what do you think about my campaign? I'd like to change the term breakthrough to outlier, because I think when you hear breakthrough, people may get the idea that the vaccine is not that effective. But outlier means it's very rare. So can you get the medical community to adopt that word instead?
You know, Bob, I would be right there with you, because you make an extremely good point. When we look at the number of cases of individuals who have been vaccinated and yet still will end up with some portion of the illness, those are outliers. Those are single digit, less than single digit as far as the number of people who have been fully vaccinated. So you make a good point, and I'll get Dr. Fauci on the phone later.
Thanks. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it, Bob. Take care.